Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world who tune in to Radio 4, the World Service, or on the Internet, and also to welcome to the show this week four talented, exciting, and really clever players of the game who come together to show their humorous ability, their verbal dexterity, their ingenuity, as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting on my right together, we have Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and sitting on my left, we have Graham Norton and Linda Smith. Will you please welcome all four of them? And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from St. Edmund's Hall in that delightful coastal Suffolk town of Southwold. And we're part of the Theatre Festival of Southwold in the summer here. It's a hot night, and we have a hot audience who are ready to cheer us on our way in every sense of the word as we begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is My Favourite Words. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My favourite words are, Clement Freud, you are the winner. But I quite enjoy words like unguent and languid, parallelogram, ubiquitous.
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes.
And also deviation, because I know that parallelogram is one of Clement's most hated words. I went on a trip to Carlisle, coming back from doing this show. He went on about how he hated parallelogram. He said, I can't stand that word. It was quite embarrassing in the end. I had to pretend I didn't know him. So for him to sit here and tell these people this is one of his favourite words, I think it's... Frankly, I think it's cheating the British public.
I enjoyed that little soliloquy, Paul. I can't give you a bonus
point. That's a sort of pudding, isn't it?
But I can give I can give you the subject and a bonus, not a bonus point, a point for speaking before a correct challenge. And there are 44 seconds. The subject is my favourite words starting now.
Tangerine, lima, cricket, basket, cheese, wombat, fruit, Norman, Harold, Wilson. These are some of my favourite words. Others are exit, door, peanut, instrumental, wisdom. Windoline.
Graham, challenge.
No.
Graham,
no,
why
no,
did you try?
No, I thought it was a repetition, but it was whiz. I just knew you had said something like wisdom, but in fact it was Wilson. That's what it was.
That's right, yes. Sorry. It's quite close, but not quite the same.
No, and, no. It's
and it couldn't be more contrast when it would be Norman Wisdom and Harold Wilson. An incorrect challenge, I'm afraid.
Very.
And so a point to you, Paul, for that. And you have 21 seconds to continue with my favourite words starting now.
Words are wonderful creations, aren't they? Without words, how could we communicate? I suppose a simple mime might suffice, but even then, we wouldn't be sure what we were trying to say to each other. When you get a book, one that you really look forward to reading...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Deviation. He's what? Got away from my favourite words.
Well, reading a book? Yes. Well, what's in a book? Onions? I mean, what are you...
No, I don't think so, Clement. I mean, he was on about his favourite words and he started reading a book. He was probably going to tell us the favourite words he did find in his book.
Nicholas, so... you're reading my mind.
So an incorrect challenge. Paul, you still have the subject. You have 7 seconds. My favourite words are starting now.
Beard. Trimmings. These are a few of my favourite things. When I think back...
Linda, challenge.
Said few before.
Yes, you did have a few before.
Did
yes.
I?
Yes, you had a
few. Are you sure?
I'm absolutely certain. I am listening. It's part of my job. That's why I get paid.
Is it
for.
You? This is a job?
No, it's an infinite pleasure, especially when you're on the show, Paul. So, but Linda, correct challenge, yes, repetition, 2 seconds for you on my favourite words, starting now.
My favourite words are bad language and violence.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes in this game gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Linda Smith. So, Linda, you have 2 points. Paul has 3. The others have yet to score. And, Linda, it is your turn to begin. And the subject is Snow White... and the 7 Dwarfs. Will you tell us something about them in this game starting now?
Name Snow White's Seven Dwarfs is a popular pub quiz question. I often get it confused with that other poser concerning the cast of The Magnificent Seven. And answer, Dozy, Sleepy, Grumpy and Yul Brynner. It doesn't win me many points in a quiz. The film...
Graham Challenge.
Oh, repetition of quiz.
Yes, right, tonight's a whiz quiz, yes.
Yes, mm. Yes, you're right.
Yes. So, Graham, you've got in with 41 seconds available. Tell us something about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, starting now.
Given that the woman lived with seven men, oh, the irony that somebody called her Snow White. How could she be anything like that? I don't think so. I hope her mother never found out. How vile. And that prince can't have been too bright either. Who'd have her after that? But I do recall some...
Clement, you challenge.
That's hesitation.
Yes.
Yes, it was a hesitation. Right, Clement, you have 15 seconds for us to tell us something about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, starting now.
I went to see the film of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in the 1930s on my bicycle, driving to Lowestoft, pedalling like hell up the few hills, and getting to Wrentham and having a bottle of Tice.
So, Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle end gained that extra point, and Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is communes. Tell us something about communes in this game, starting now.
Well, about 20 years ago, I lived in a hippie commune for a year in America. Now, the whole house smelt of wet dog. But once you got over that, the next problem was that you had to cook for the entire household. Now, all my other communards were vegetarians. I was 20 from Ireland. We didn't have them. But I reckoned that what they eat must be salad. How can you go wrong? My mother had taught me how to cook that. One lettuce leaf, two slices of egg, perhaps some pickled beetroot, and a lot of salad cream. All one word, I'm thinking.
Poor talent.
Repetition of salad.
You had salad before.
Salad cream. Salad cream.
You know, it's two words, salad cream. So, yes, you did have salad before. 18 seconds with you, Paul, on communes starting now.
While I was an undercover spy, I found myself disguised as Snow White, and I used to live with seven dwarves in a commune deep in the forest. It was a magical place, and every morning I used to get up feeling grumpy and then realise...
Clement, you challenged.
He said, I used to, twice.
He did say, I used to, twice, yes. We love the groping grumpy there.
I didn't say anything about groping anybody. What on earth are you suggesting?
Oh, feeling grumpy, which...
Completely different matter, I think you'll find. Your witness.
I wanted to go on. I wondered what else you were feeling. Anyway, yes, he did say used to twice. 6 seconds with you, Clement, on communes starting now.
In a bar in Great Yarmouth, where a commune was quite close, a man came up and said, I am the eighth.
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, is equal to Paul Merton in the lead. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is My Lucky Number. Tell us what your lucky... Well, no, don't say. The subject is My Lucky Number, starting now.
My lucky number is 24. I was born on lucky number, April 19, lucky number. And I lived at lucky number Drayton Gardens and moved to lucky number Sussex Place. I go to...
Well,
it was a hesitation there, but also shows a stunning lack of ambition. I live at 24, I moved to 24. There are other houses, you know.
I thought you were going to have a repetition of aye-aye, but...
I interpreted that as hesitation.
Hesitation. Right. So 43 seconds for you, Paul, on My Lucky Number, starting now.
Professional gamblers say there's no point in playing roulette because the odds are against you, but you have some kind of chance with blackjack. This is a game, I think, akin to pontoon, where cards are dealt. Clement, no doubt, has played this in many a casino. I'd like to know from him how well he actually... There's some kids looking through the door. Excuse me, you're not allowed to just stand there looking, you know. This is a BBC show. What do you think, you know, these people are paid? These people pay good money to see this. Come in. Do. Come in. Come through. Look, there we are. There they are. There's one. Come on. In you come. Oh. Come on. In. That's it. There we are. Take a seat. And I just want to say why you should vote for me at the next coming election is because as your Liberal candidate...
Clement Floyd Charles.
Deviation. Oh, yes, nothing to do with the children coming in.
The children coming in has got nothing to do with my lucky number, but I think we were going to be generous and let him get away with it, but...
I'd let him get away with it.
No, I don't think we could. He didn't come back to the subject quick enough after the children came in, so...
Is this a new form of no. Just a Minute? They're called Extreme Just a Minute. Distractions are brought in throughout the evening to see how you cope.
We've never had this situation before. We've never had the doors open before. We've never had people come in. They had one look
and audience to stay.
That's it. I think that it's an almost impossible decision, so let us assume that nothing happened. And I mean, that happened. But within the rules of Just a Minute. They're going to come in again in a minute. Well, please, either come in or stay out. Right. Paul, you carry on. 13 seconds, my lucky number, starting now.
My lucky number is 7 7/8.
I was distracted by that child.
Right, Clement, yes, you got that one. So you're in on it anyway, Clement. 10 seconds, my lucky number, starting now.
I think I've already explained what my lucky number is. So let me tell you about the lucky numbers of other members of my family, one of whom I see in the front...
Well, Clement Freud and Paul Merton, it's neck and neck. They're out in front together in the lead, followed by Linda Smith and Graham Norton. And Linda, your turn to begin. The subject now is turkeys. It's a bit not unseasonal at this time of year to be talking about them. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Turkeys are raised in great numbers in the neighbouring county of Norfolk by a man whose name escapes me for entirely legal reasons. But I believe...
Oh, Paul, you challenged.
Bernard Matthews.
Right, a bonus point to Paul, but Linda wasn't deviating, hesitating, or repeating herself, so you keep the subject, Linda. You have 51 seconds. Turkeys starting now.
Whatever he's called, his products are bootiful, especially one item I delight in, which is called Dino Lips. They are mechanically recovered turkey fragments formed into the shape of dinosaur lips. They are...
Clement Challenge.
Rudyard Kipling.
Rudyard Kipling. Yes. Elucidate, Clement.
Paul got a bonus point for saying Bernard Matthews. Yes. I thought I might get one for Rudyard.
Yeah, but the difference is, Clement, that Rudyard Kipling had got nothing to do with turkeys, as far as I know, unless he had some strange relationship with it. But Bernard Matthews has a good...
But I mean, do dinosaurs have lips?
Of course they do. How would they put on lipstick if they didn't?
You're right, actually, right. I hadn't thought it through.
Right. Clement wants his bonus point. Give it to him. Linda keeps the subject. She has 35 seconds. Still with you on turkeys, Linda, starting now.
These food items are nutritious and delicious. Just one portion contains a whole course of antibiotics. I live almost exclusively on them and haven't had a sore throat in years. I think I'll just say someone's name. George Eliot. Can I have a bonus Clement. Point?
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Probably.
There's
most
a long
likely.
Time to say George Eliot.
It probably was, wasn't it? Is there a wrong time to say the greatest English novelist? I don't think so.
When you're talking about turkeys, probably yes.
She loved a turkey burger, did George?
Yeah, she used to swear by them.
Oh, she was a bugger for them, honestly. Yeah. She used to get through a box a day, honestly. Yeah. When she wrote Daniel Deronda, it was turkey, turkey, turkey all day.
But there were no turkey burgers in those days.
No, because she ate them all.
And I'm sure they weren't in boxes either. Well said, Paul. You've got the subject. You've got 19 seconds. Turkeys starting now.
There is, of course, a feeling that perhaps we shouldn't eat birds and we should all become vegetarian, I suppose. I mean, look at...
Graham Challenge.
With a sort of hesitation and a reputation of...
Yes, there was a bit of a hesitation, and, yes Graham. So you've got him with 12 seconds on turkeys, starting now.
If turkeys are so delicious, why do we eat them once a year? It seems unusual. You know what I mean? Because most things you like, you'd go and get again. But turkeys, no. You just buy them the once a year. I'll say that again.
Full challenge.
Repetition of the annual event once a year.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
But actually, people do eat them. You can buy them now all the year round.
Can you?
Yes.
You fascinate me. Let me get a pen.
Right. 1 second for you, Paul, on turkey starting now.
Bernard Matthews.
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle again. Next one. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, followed by Linda Smith and Graham Norton. And Paul, it's your turn to begin as well. The subject now is clock watching. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I spent many years working for the civil service, and I indulged in a great deal of clock watching while working for that esgus.
Right, Graham Challenge.
Was the repetition of working?
Yes, there was. Worked for the... No, you worked the first time, didn't you?
Yeah.
But there wasn't. No. For answering that question.
Yeah. You worked the first time and working.
I spent many years working.
That's what I said, yes.
And they worked he said working
time.
Twice.
No, he said working again.
All right. I was saying working again.
Yeah, yeah! Yeah, too right he repeated working.
It did, right. 54... Graham, 54 seconds.
Excuse me, is Clement making the decisions now?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He made that decision, yes, definitely.
Is he working you with his foot?
I don't know. It's when he works me with his hand that I begin to worry. 54 seconds, Graham, with you. Clock watching starting now.
Clock watching is a great hobby. It's certainly easier than train spotting or bird watching because you don't have to leave the house. You can just put it on the wall, sit in a chair. It's rather like television, but without a remote control because it just works itself. The little hand goes round. Sometimes the big hand goes round. Then, of course... Oh.
Paul said, so I know...
Repetition of hand.
36 seconds clock watching with you, Paul, starting now.
And as the week progressed, I think to myself, God, what is the time? And I'd look up at the clock and I think, it's 9:05, Monday morning. This is going on for a number of hours before I get to the weekend, which was always my favourite part of the 7 days, because then at last I could be...
Clement Challenge.
Wasn't that a hesitation?
No. Definitely.
From here, it sounded like a hesitation.
I thought it sounded like Paul talking.
He kept going with a fluency over that. Rubbish, but it was fluent. 19 seconds, clock watching starting now.
Well, Nicholas, I think you're the last person to point out when somebody's talking rubbish, if I may say so. Your chairmanship of this programme since 1967 has been an absolute farrago. Your decisions are...
Linda Challenge.
Deviation. Where's the clock watching?
Just a minute.
That was a very quick response from Paul there, which got him out of mischief there. So, Paul, another point, 0.5 seconds. No, not. 8 seconds to go, clock watching starting now.
My father used to work in a clock watching factory, and what he would do is he would make the timepiece and then watch...
Clement Challenge.
Two woods.
Yes, there were two woods. Yes, yes, woods. And, Clement, you got him with 2 seconds to go on clock watching starting now.
More fun than cock watching. Okay, less fun.
With deviation, it can't be more fun, can it?
Yeah.
What, clock watching is more fun than cock watching? Yeah. Well, I mean, with a cock, you don't have to put it back an hour at the winter time, I suppose. Or do you? No, I can't see how clock watching can be more fun than cock watching.
I suppose it depends on your attitude and your...
To cocks and clocks?
Yes. Well, some people per cocks, some people per clocks.
And chicken and turkeys. And
that's right, you see. Maybe some people don't like to go out of doors, but you have to watch a cock watching if you go out of doors, don't you? Clock watching, you stay indoors most of the time.
Unless you specialise in watching Big Ben.
Yes, yes, that's right. I don't think he was deviating within the rules of just a minute.
Really?
Yes.
Just in the rules of everyday life.
Yes, sir. 0.5 second, Clement. Clock watching starting now.
Tick tock.
Clement was speaking as the whistle went, gained the other points as well in the round. He's creeping up on our leader, Paul Merton, followed by Linda Smith and Graham Norton in that order. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject now is Picasso. Tell us something about Picasso in just a minute, starting now.
Picasso was actually named Pablo Ruiz, R-U-I-Z, and changed his name to Picasso when he became famous and started painting. I met him when he was in Valoris running a pottery, and every afternoon he would go to the workshop, and with the back of a paintbrush, he would put a P on the rear side of every saucer, which increased the value thereof by a factor of over 100. He was a greedy and avaricious man. He was enormously rich and never gave anybody else any money, and was passionately interested in the British Stock Exchange. He held shares in many companies, one of which being IC Industries.
Graham Challenge.
You know, I could be wrong. I'll try it. It's a brave, I think a repetition of I.
Well, he did say, I met him right earlier on, yes, and now it's IC, yes. IC Industries, so it is correct. So it's 12 seconds with you, Graham, on Picasso starting now.
Picasso, genius painter, or an example of care in the community. What was going on there? Was he just drunk? Do you know what I mean? And people pay a lot of money for it. I say hurrah for the invention of the camera. Because then...
So Graham Norton, with other points, including one for speaking as a whistle, went as a move forward. He's equal in third place with Linda Smith, just a little way behind Clement Freud, who's a point or two behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Linda, your turn to begin. The subject, lighthouses. Tell us something about lighthouses in this game, starting now.
Lighthouses are very tall buildings with lots of stairs and no disabled access whatsoever. I don't think that's a very good thing. There is a beautiful lighthouse here in Southwold. I stayed in a hotel a while ago and I could see the lighthouse light going round all the time in the night. It was like being in the slowest discotheque in the world. Or perhaps it was God calling last orders by flicking the light off and on. I don't know. But a lighthouse is a dreadful place to live if you've forgotten something when you go upstairs, because you've got a very long way to climb down again. So it's very good an idea to not say very quite so very many times.
Oh, you're jealous.
Sadly, repetition of very.
I know, they almost let you get
so?
Away with it.
Yes.
I thought I got away with it.
But I hadn't noticed until you then said I shouldn't repeat very.
I know. You should have gone on with that style and panache that you have, Linda, and you might have got away with it. But there are 17 seconds still available, and lighthouses are with you, Paul, now, starting now.
One of the lightest houses I ever lived in was 24 Albumen Terrace. I bought the house from Clement Freud. He said to me, you'll always have a wonderful time here, and I weighed it. And it came out in the most extraordinary figure. I think it was 35 kilograms, which you will agree for something that is where you live.
Well, we're now moving, unfortunately, into the last round. Ah, that's better, because the audience we had for the first show, of course, it was a long time ago now, but they were... They didn't give that lovely warm groan when I made that remark. So you've obviously enjoyed yourself.
Hoping to get a bed for the night.
So we're going to the final round with Linda Smith and Graham Norton equal in third place. Few points behind Clement Freud, who is also a few points behind our leader, who is Paul Merton. But Graham, it's your turn to begin. Now, the subject is my motto. Tell us something about my motto in just a minute, starting now.
My motto is a problem shared is gossip. And isn't that a lovely thing to live by? Yes, when at work people are boring you out of your mind with their dreary difficulties, you can be thinking, but I can tell... Was that the right... Anyway, I'll keep going.
Graham.
Damn, they heard my inner monologue.
Don't draw attention to it. Keep going and they'll be generous and let you get away with it. But Linda challenged.
Yes, repetition and hesitation.
Hesitation,
so that's
right.
2 points to me. Hurrah!
No. 42 seconds, Linda. 1 point to you. My motto starting now.
My motto is, if your ears are burning, your head's on fire. It's a great rule to live by in life. And I always check every morning to see if those means of hearing things are in fact a light in an incendiary fashion, you know, perhaps a way that might impair my ability to use them for the purpose for which they were intended. Luckily, this morning, that was not, in fact, the case with me. So that's another day I live with all my senses intact. What a blessing that is, for which I am very grateful. And I really, sincerely mean that to whoever put that situation in the place that it was for me on this very day in this life that I am living so happily here amongst the good people of Southwold, whom I've come to think of as friends. I love the way their children run in and out of the show without any parental discipline whatsoever. They are truly...
Linda, we were very mean then. You were going so well that we just let you go. We actually weren't going well, but you were going. And we just let you go. And you actually went for a full minute. So you not only get a point for speaking
so
when
short.
The whistle went, right? We'll give you 2 bonus points for going for the full minute because the audience liked it.
Nicholas?
Yeah.
Nicholas, I hate it. Did I do a bit of chatting at the beginning of that minute?
Yes, but from the moment she picked it up...
Oh, fair enough, fair enough.
From the moment she picked it up, she went for a full minute. So she, which is very mean of us.
Does
sir,
that
but,
settle that for you, Graham?
Yes, it does.
So,
thank you, Linda.
So, Graham, what? Lovely to have you back on the show.
Yeah, but I came fourth.
But a brilliant fourth.
Yeah.
Because it's your contribution that we love
thank
so,
you so
much. Linda, a superb third. You know, when we are. Clement Freud, a magnificent second. And Paul Merton, out in the lead, a triumphant first. A round of applause for Paul Merton. So, with no more time, if any remains for me to say thank you to these 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith, and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle, except for the last one, which I blew. And, also, we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created the game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the St. Edmunds Hall. We're indebted to our lovely audience here in Southwold, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time you play Just a Minute.